Now, how does Buddhism get at the head? How does it communicate with the conscious mind? Well, this it does by speaking the language of reason and logic. In this way, it communicates the mystery of the Buddha's enlightenment to the head, to the conscious mind. It makes use of concepts, makes use of systematic reasoning, makes use of metaphysics, makes use of philosophy, epistemology, psychology even. In this way, it communicates with the head. But how does it communicate with, how does it get at the heart, at the unconscious mind? How does it do this? Because this also, do it must, if it is to communicate with the whole man, if it is to communicate fully and totally and convey to the whole man some glimpse or hint or intimation of the mystery of the Buddha's enlightenment. Now, Buddhism gets at the heart of man, gets at the unconscious mind of man by speaking not the language of logic, not the language of concepts or philosophy or metaphysics. These touch only the head. It gets at the heart, at the unconscious mind of man, by speaking another language, a different, an equally valid language, an equally powerful and important language, and that is the language of myth. And it speaks this language with the help of such things as symbols, with the help of legend, a ritual, music, poetry, and so on. And not only Buddhism, but all religions speak this language. Not just the language of logic, but the language also of myth. And they sometimes speak it very, very powerfully indeed. Christianity, we may say, has some very impressive myths and symbols. Christianity has the myth or symbol, call it what you will, of the fall of man. Has the symbol or the myth of the virgin birth, the crucifixion, the resurrection. And all these great myths and symbols of Christianity appeal to, affect the emotions, the unconscious mind, the heart, very powerfully and very strongly indeed. Unfortunately, in official Christianity, these symbols and these myths are usually, if not invariably, interpreted literally. And what are really myths, what are really symbols, are regarded as historic facts. Take, for instance, the myth or the symbol of the virgin birth. What does this mean? According to official Christianity, it means that the mother of Christ, at the time of her conception, at the time of Christ's conception rather, was still technically a virgin and remained a virgin. This is regarded as a historical fact, that if you could have been present at that time, and if you could have subjected the Virgin Mary to a medical examination, you would have found that she was a virgin. This is how it is taken. But this is very, very literal, one might even say crudely literal. But if one looks a little deeper, one will find that this idea of virgin birth and virgin motherhood is a universal symbol, which we find not only in Christianity, we find it also in other religions, even pagan religions of Greece and Rome and Egypt and so on. So what does this symbol, this myth of the virgin birth really mean? So virgin means that which is pure, or one who is pure. Virginity represents the state of purity, not just sexual purity, but purity in the full sense, in the complete sense. So virgin birth means that the Christ, or the Christ consciousness, or the higher consciousness, can come into existence, can come to birth, only in the mind which is pure, which is virgin. This is the real meaning of the myth, the real meaning of the symbol, that it's only the virgin mind, as it were, which can give birth to the Christ or divine consciousness. But official Christianity interprets the virgin birth, as I've said, in this literal and historical sort of way, and therefore, to a great extent, misses its meaning and misses its significance. Myth, in this way, is transformed into, or hardens into, dogma. And belief in this dogma is regarded then as essential to salvation. Not that the spiritual meaning is always or entirely lost, but it's usually very, very much obscured, to say the least. Now, in Buddhism, the position is rather different. We may say that Christianity spoke the language of myth from the beginning. From the beginning, its appeal was more to the heart, more to the unconscious mind. Only later, it learns to speak the language of reason, the language of logic. And even then, it learned to speak it only rather imperfectly. But in the case of Buddhism, it was the other way round. The initial appeal of Buddhism was more to reason, more to the intelligence. And it was only afterwards, especially when Buddhism spread among the masses, that it started appealing to and speaking to the emotions and the unconscious mind. And this sort of development, this sort of procedure, is fully in accordance, we may say, with the whole conception of the spiritual path in Buddhism.